If you would open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I was sitting there thinking, this feels like a Thanksgiving evening service, doesn't it? We've got John and Vicky back home. We've got our college kids home. Feels good. I'm looking forward to what the Lord's given John for us tonight. All right, Colossians chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. We'll end our reading there. All right, Sean, come lead us in our singing, if you would.
Okay, if you would, please to turn to song 282, Hiding in Thee.
Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee, hiding in thee, hiding in thee. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. In the calm of the noontide, in sorrow's lone hour, in times when temptation casts o'er me its power, in the tempest of life on its wide heaving sea, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee, hiding in thee, hiding in thee. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the to my refuge and breathe out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul, hiding in thee. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee.
Okay, if you would now turn to song number 232, When I See the Blood.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died he for sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save. All he has promised that he will do. Wash in the fountain, open for sin, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there, each one receiving justly his due. Hide in the saving, sin-cleansing blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. O great compassion, O boundless love, O loving kindness, faithful and true, find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Let's open our Bibles now to Matthew chapter 9. Janet, out of force of habit, I drank out of John's cup. I'm sorry. Don't want him to get dry mouth. Drink after me this time of year. All right. Matthew chapter 9. We'll begin our reading in verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Thank God for his word. Let's bow together. Our Father, oh how we thank you that in your goodness and your mercy to your people, that you have enabled us to gather here together tonight to one more time hear the gospel of your precious Son. And Father, there's so much going on in the world and in our lives right now. I pray that you'd enable us to set those things aside, that you'd put them out of our minds, and for this hour, enable us to hear the message that you've prepared for us, to hear of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be given the faith to believe him and cling to him. Father, make your word effectual in our hearts tonight. Make it effectual to your glory, that in this hour we might see thy glory. Father, we're so thankful that you brought John and Vicky our way. And we pray that you'd be with John in this hour, that you'd uphold him with thy spirit, enable him to rightly divide the word of truth, and in the power of thy spirit to preach Christ to us. Father, at this time when the world stops to in thanksgiving, we do thank you. Oh, how we thank you for your mercy and your grace. How we thank you that you have compassion on sinners, that your heart is moved with compassion at our need. How we thank you that you would send your Son to bear our sin and put it away by the sacrifice of himself. Father, how we thank you. And on top of that, how you abundantly blessed us with everything we need in this life. Father, we do thank you. And we beg your forgiveness for the times when we are ungrateful and murmur and complain. Now, Father, be with us in this hour, we pray. Give us a word from thee. Enable us to leave here rejoicing in Christ our Savior. It's in his precious name we pray and give thanks.
There came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind. It filled their hearts with singing, and gave them peace within. The prophet gave this promise, the Spirit will descend. And from your inner being, a river with no end. There is a river that flows from deep within. Christ is the fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. Christ is the river that never shall run dry. There was a thirsty woman who was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted. Her soul was bound for hell. Then she met the Master, who told of her great sin. And if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. Christ is the river that flows from God above. There is a fountain that's filled with His great love. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. Christ is the river that never shall run dry. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. Christ is the river that never shall run dry.
Our speaker tonight, everybody here knows him, Pastor John Chapman, Bethel Baptist Church, Spring Lake, North Carolina. John needs no introduction, but just let me say, it would be hard to overestimate our love and our appreciation for you, and what you meant to us over the years, faithful preacher, faithful pastor, and I hope you just feel right at home, and you come bring a message God's given you. We're glad you're here. Just delighted.
Ashland will always be home. You know, I've learned that home can be different places, where the people that you love and love you is home. And someday, you and I will be home. We're headed home. You know, our homes here are just temporary. Our fleshly relationships are temporary. I was saying to Vic and Jeremy coming over here, I said, when I come back to Ashland, I am flooded with memories. Good memories, just flooded with memories. I said, I go back to my early 20s when I came here and 22, 23 years old. And I said, what a powerful time that was. I said, man, I just reminisce about it from time to time. Vicki and I do. And the Lord just, it's humbling to me what I sat under and what you sat under, what we sat under. It's so humbling to me that that God blessed us so much and was such powerful preaching. And here we are today. I told Henry last time I talked to him, I was preaching in Rocky Mount. I said, Henry, I said, you know, it gives me great comfort and joy that after 40 plus years, here we are together. Here we are preaching the gospel. We still love each other. I said, you know, that's just encouraging to me. And here I stand, and we're still preaching the same gospel, love the same Lord, same fellowship. I said, Dad, that's comforting. That's comforting. And then someday we'll get to do it without having to part company. The message I want to preach tonight, Lord willing, is out of Matthew chapter 9. The title of the message, Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is able to meet your need. Whatever that is. Whatever that need is, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is able to meet it? That's what I want to look at tonight. What is your real need right now? We all have, we're a needy people, aren't we? We are a needy people. What's your real need right now? Whatever it is, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can meet it? I know that faith is the gift of God. And I know that in this life, our faith is never perfect because of sin. I know that. It's never perfect. And it seems like it's at its weakest when I need it to be its strongest. When I need my faith to be in Christ at its strongest, it seems to be at its weakest. I find myself crying as the one man did, saying, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." I do believe. You know you believe. You know you believe, don't you? You know you believe. And you cry, "Lord, help me to believe." It's like Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. I don't love you as I ought to love you, but you know I love you." And it just seems like that when I need faith to be strongest, it's weakest. But I also know this. I know this. However weak my faith may be, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is never weak. He's never weak. That's comforting. No matter how weak my faith is, His is never weak. He's never weak. And I cannot express how important it is to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we learn of Him, the more faith in Him will grow. He's the lesson. You know, doctrine is not the lesson. Christ is the lesson. And if we learn Him, we'll learn the doctrine. We'll learn His teaching. Doctrine is teaching. We'll learn His teaching. And I have learned that there's nothing in this life, nothing. And I've learned this over the years. There's nothing more important than knowing Him, than being joined to Him. Having that real relationship, that real living relationship with Jesus Christ. Not knowing some facts about Him. Knowing Him. I can't stress how important that is. And it's possible. Oh, how possible it is for us to know Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior. Now let me mention a few things about these blind men. And the most obvious thing is this. They were blind. I want you to notice in verse 27, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him." These men were blind. They couldn't see where they were going. Do you know how hard it had to be to follow Christ blind? Following Christ, now listen, especially you younger people believe, following Christ will never be easy. It's never an easy path in this life. These blind men, they were blind, they were in the dark, but He made them follow Him. He didn't stop there. He kept going until He went into the house, and they went into the house. Then He turned and He spoke to them. I know this, everyone whom God saves, He saves from their spiritual blindness, doesn't He? Every one of us was living in the dark. We were living in the dark. There was a time we thought we could see, that we understood, we knew something about God, that we thought we knew who and what we are. We basically good. We thought what we thought. Isn't that right? Every last one of us in here, before God saved us, we thought we were basically good, and from time to time we did things we shouldn't. No, God. Then God saved us, and we could see. There's none good, no, not one. And you can write out beside that verse, even me. Even me. We thought we knew how God saved sinners. Christ did his part, now we do our part. Christ, he does all the saving. I did all the sinning. Christ does all the saving. His part in saving is all of it. It's not his part and my part. It's not a listen, salvation is not a cooperative effort between me and God. It's God saving me from my sins. That's what it is. It's God saving me. And then their knowledge was accurate. They knew what they needed. Did you get what they first cried for? Did they first say, Lord, give us our sight? They said, Lord, have mercy. That's what they cried for. They cried for mercy. They asked for mercy. They asked for what they did not deserve. You and I do not deserve what we are asking for. I don't deserve forgiveness. That's why I ask for mercy. Mercy is what I don't deserve. We're not asking for what we deserve. They asked God, the first thing they asked Him for was mercy. Have mercy, they said. Have mercy on us. If you and I would learn what that means, you and I would find mercy to help in time of need. That we need mercy. We need God to have mercy on us first. Now, there's two things they believed. They believed that Jesus was the Son of David. They had the best sight. You see, the Pharisees, they had their physical sight, which was a stumbling block to them. They saw the carpenter's son. They said, we know you, you're the carpenter's son. They saw a poor Nazarene. But these men were blind as could be. They were living in the dark, but they could see this is the Son of David. That's the best. They had the best sight. They said, thou art the Son of David. They called him the Son of David. They knew he was the Messiah. They knew he was the king. And then secondly, they believed he could give them their sight. You know, faith starts here. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This is where faith starts. When our Lord asked the disciples this, some say you're Elijah, some say you're that prophet. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We need not go any further till we get this cleared up. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the Son of God. He's the one who created all of this. He's God revealed, manifest in the flesh. That's who Jesus Christ is. And they knew that. They knew that. Now here's the question. Believe ye that I am able to do this? I can just feel their heart beating out of their chest. They got the ear of God. They got the ear of the Son of David. They got the ear of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I can just feel when he stopped in that house and they came in there and then he asked them this question. Can you imagine what it is to have the ear of God? How many times does a psalmist say throughout the Psalms, oh God, hear my prayer. Oh Lord, hearken to me. How many times? And here the God of heaven and earth stops and he asks them, what's your problem? What do you want? Mercy. Mercy. They were blind. They knew they were blind and they believed with all their heart they could see and he could give them their sight. They believed that. They didn't doubt it at all. They had no doubt about it. And I tell you what, they gave the right answer. He said, believe ye that I'm able to do this? And it became evident because they received their sight. What if they had said, well, you know, Hope you can. hope you can. You know, I truly believe and expect to be saved when I die, to end up in glory. I expect it. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is able to save my soul, to put away my sins. I believe that. But here, listen, here is an obstacle that faith has to overcome. When he asked this question, here's one of the things that faith has to overcome. Is anything too hard for the Lord? They're blind. Nobody can speak a word and open the eyes of the blind. Can this man do it? Well, here's an obstacle that faith has to overcome. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Listen to these verses. Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Remember, God said she's going to have a son, and she's behind the door, and she laughs. She laughs. God hears her. Then she tries to lie about it. She says, I didn't laugh. Oh, yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did. And God says to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is your situation, whatever it is, I don't care if it's, you know, I know our spiritual situation is our most important. That's the most important need and healing that I have is spiritual. I've learned, it's taken me some years to learn it. You know, my prayers now are far different at 66 than they were at 26. I can tell you at 26, my prayers had more to do with temporal things. And I assure you right now they have more to do with eternal things. Things that are spiritual. Things that I know that if God heals me spiritually, if things are well with me spiritually, the temporal things will take care of themselves. They'll be taken care of. I know that. I've lived long enough to know that. I know my greatest need is spiritual. That's what's important. That's what's important. In Numbers 11:23, and the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is a problem with me? Is it with God? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And then in Isaiah 50, verse 2, wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. Never forget that. You know, I can't tell you how many times Israel was reminded of this. They came across the Red Sea. They saw it. And he many times reminds them of what happened at the Red Sea. I dried up the sea at my rebuke. He didn't build a dam. He just, with his word, dried it up, split it. At my rebuke, I dried up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there's no water and dieth for thirst. Is my hand short? See, faith has to overcome this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Whatever it is. I don't care if it's physical, material, or spiritual. There's nothing too hard for our Lord. I've learned that when he puts me through a trial, and when he puts any of you through a trial, that it has its time, its purpose, and its limit. And when it's done, it's done. You know, and another thing about it, when he puts us through a trial, the end is already determined. That'll give you comfort if you learn this. Whatever you're going through, the end is already determined. The outcome's already determined. I just got to get there. I got to get there in a way that glorifies him. That's what I want. That's what it comes to. That I get there in a way that glorifies him. And I learn a lesson. Now, as I already said, our greatest need is spiritual. compared to our temporal needs, our material needs, and our spiritual needs, the rest compel in comparison to our spiritual needs. It all compares. We need God to save us from our sins. If God is pleased to save me from my sins, He saves me from my sins, my troubles are gone. They're over. Am I right? I'm telling you the truth. You said, but I'm struggling. Well, go ahead, struggle, but your real trouble's over. Just try to meet God with your sins. Yeah. That's trouble. That's trouble. If God saves me from my sins, my trouble's over. Right now, you know what my troubles are? The troubles I'm going through right now are just conforming me to the image of His Son. Has Christ been formed in me? I'm just being conformed to the image of Christ. Why should I complain about that? Do you want to be conformed to the image of Christ? You might think about that before you answer it. Because it's going to be trouble. Our Lord suffered. We're going to suffer also. It's not only been given to you on behalf of Christ to believe on Him, but it's also given to you to what? Suffer. Suffer. Oh, I need God to save me from my sins. I need God to save me from His wrath. I need God to save me from the spirit of darkness that now works in the children of disobedience. That's what I need. And I thank God that I have grown enough to know that. And I'm not still worried about the material things. I'm still not concerned about retirement, and kids. Of course, my kids are grown. You know, I don't have that problem, but I'm not overly concerned about those things. I'm not concerned about what's going on out there in the world. I'm not. I'm not saying I'm blind to it. I haven't watched the news. I couldn't tell you when the last time I watched the news. I'm telling you the truth. I have learned this is my direction. This is what leads me and guides me and gives me comfort. I'm not going to let somebody take that away from me because some goofball doing something out there and they're trying to make something out of it so they can get the ratings. I ain't going to do that. They're not going to mess up my day. I can mess that up myself. I mean, that belongs to me. Someone said that one of Satan's greatest tools is the 24/7 news channel. Disturbs your peace. Isn't that what? It disturbs your peace. Don't let that disturb your peace. Who's running all this? Jesus Christ. And He's running it for our good. It's bringing about the eternal purpose of God Almighty. That's what's going on right now. I don't know all this other stuff going on, but I know what's going on from the Word of God. I know right now that Jesus Christ is running everything. Every nation, every leader is under His authority. Every one of them. You say, well, that's some things are look way out of hand. Though it's in His hand. It's out of your hand, right, my hand, but it's in His. It's in His. All right, now let me get to the message. Here's the question. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Whatever this is for you, whatever it is for you, whatever this is for you, everyone in here has a this. The first one. And I want us to look in the Word of God how this word able is used. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is able to save you, first of all, from your sins? Let's start there because we don't need to go any further if you can't do this. You know, if you can't do this, we no need to go further. Hebrews 7:25, I'm going to read these off as I go. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. Why is it He's able to save them and no one else is able to save them? No one else has been able to do it. Well, first of all, it's this. He ever lives to make intercession for them. He's at God's right hand for them. He intercedes for them. We have a living sacrifice. That's what it's telling us. We have a living sacrifice before the throne of God. We have a sacrifice that stands before God. John said, I saw a lamb standing in the midst of the throne as it had been slain. We have a living sacrifice. All those other sacrifices in the Old Testament died. They killed it. They slay a lamb. They had to get another one. Had to get another one. But not with this lamb. This is God's lamb. This lamb died, put away our sins, rose again from the grave, ascended to glory, seated at God's right hand, and get a hold of this. He's praying for you. You. And I desire your prayers. I tell the people this back down in Spring Lake, down at Bethel. I desire your prayers, but I tell you, there's one that prays for me that's always heard. There's one that prays for me for exactly what I need, when I need it. And He intercedes for me. Isn't that something? God provided a mediator for me and for every one of His people. He's provided a mediator for a high priest and one who intercedes for us. And here's a second reason why. He has an unchangeable priesthood. It says in verse 24 there of Hebrews chapter 7. There's no changing of the guards. Aaron was a priest and Aaron died. Then another one took his place, he died. Another one took his place, he died. This one's not going to die again. This one's not going to die. He ever lives. He has an unchangeable priesthood. It's unchangeable. There's no changing of the guards. The vilest of sinners have hope in this priest. They have interest in his intercession. You know that? They have a real interest in his intercession. He's able to save to the uttermost of sin. You don't know how bad I am. You don't know how bad you are. What are you talking about? You know, I used to think when I was young, I said, man, I'm such a bad sinner. I don't know how bad I am. And I don't want God to let me know that. There's not a person in this room that could handle how bad you really are. You would go into utter despair. There's only one person who knows how wicked, how bad you are. And that's Jesus Christ, because He was made to be sin. And when that happened, He's the only one that knows the real depth of sin. You and I just know what we can handle. What God lets us know in order to save us, He gives us an understanding of our sinfulness, but you don't know how sinful you are. You just don't know that. You can't go there. Jesus Christ is the only person that was able to go there and put it away. The only one. He can save us from the uttermost sin. He can save us from Satan's power because He lives. Thank God He lives to make intercession for us. Now, do you believe He's able to help you through every trial? You know, there are some heavy trials that God puts on His children. He makes some of His children cry and cry hard. David said he swam in his tears. His couch was just wet with his tears. And some of you know that. Some of you know what it is to cry all night. You know that. Is He able to bring me through this trial? It's so, so difficult. Well, it says in Hebrews 2:17-18, wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor, to help them that are tempted, tried, tempted. Is there anyone here tempted, tried? God putting you through anything? The Lord putting you through it? Because if you're going through it, he's putting you through it. He's putting you through it. You just don't go through it. Not his children. They're not. He knows every hair on your head. He's putting you through it. Are you tempted to doubt his power when you go, as you go through these things? You ever tempted to doubt his love? Would God do his child like this? Would he do his children like this? Would he take 10 children away from one of his children, Job? Would he take his health away? Take his everything he's got away? Would God do that to his child? Yes, he would. Look what he did to his son. Yes, he would. And when it's over, you'll thank him. I promise you, we'll thank him. You ever tempted to doubt his righteousness? To doubt that Christ is enough? Well, let me tell you this. He knows where you are. He knows where you are. For it says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, tried. And it says in all points, but there ain't no but to it. In all points. Anybody here that's got a first grade education probably knows what that means. In all. In all covers all. That's very simple, isn't it? That's just very simple. In all points. In all points. He has been there and conquered it already. He's already conquered my trial. He's been there and he already conquered it. He identifies with me in my trial. We have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Not at, you know, some of you are going to go through something I've never been through. It's not that easy for me to be completely touched with something I haven't experienced. He's experienced it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I assure you, he doesn't look down on you. He looks after you. And then, is he able to keep you in the widest sense of that word? Is he able to keep you? You know, we're going through a wicked world, aren't we? We live on the enemy's turf. This world hates God. And it hates you as a child of God. He said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:12. For which cause Paul said, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of what I'm going through for Christ's sake. I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What have I committed unto him? Absolutely everything. Everything. Everything I need to stand before God accepted, I've committed it to him. My daily bread, my daily bread includes everything I need. I've committed it to him. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. And the one that's really got, that I see now that I never saw when I was young. The greatest trial is old age. Is old age. You know, my parents, my dad's about to turn 91 and my mother close to 90. You know, and they're feeble and they're starting to get mentally, you know, weak. And the greatest trial it will be old age. If God lets you live long enough. It's to see that, watch that, and have to deal with that. My dad said to me, he said, once a man, twice a child. It's that old age. What is Solomon? What is Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12? What does he call old age? Does he call it golden years? Yeah, no. Is old age your golden years? Here's how he says it. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. And then he begins to give the breakdown of the body. And several of you in here, you've watched your parents go through it. And now I told Vicki, I said, I turned 66. I said, man, we're getting to the dying age now. three score years and 10. I said, we're getting to the dying age, 70. We're knocking on the door. She's not far behind me. We're knocking on the door. But I realize this, and this gives me real comfort. As David said, my times are in your hand. I've learned, you know, someone said one time, they said that they didn't want to live to be old. And I said, well, what age do you want to die at? And it was complete silence. I didn't get an answer. I tell you what age I want to die at. The age God has determined. Because I will have fulfilled my day and my course. As Paul said, I have run my course. I finished my course. That's the age I want to die at. The one God has determined. My times are in His hand. And listen, my spiritual well-being is committed to Him. It's committed to Him. Can He keep me spiritually healthy? Yes, He can. Yes, He can. He's the great physician. He's the balm of Gilead. Is He not? He's the balm of Gilead. He can keep my faith from failing, my hope from perishing, my feet from falling, and my love from dying. He can keep me. He can keep me. Oh, that's so comforting. In a world that's so chaotic, He can keep me. He can keep me. He can keep me. He can keep your children. He can keep them. Commit them. What if Paul said, I've committed everything to it. Well, everything you have, your children, your home, your job, everything. Commit it all to Him. There's no better hands for it to be in than His hands. And then, fourthly, do you believe He's able to supply all your need? He's able to keep you. You believe He's able to supply all your need? Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. He's speaking to them about giving. That's what he's speaking to them about. And he says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. I have to give. It says so. No. Not of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work. God's able to supply your need. You say, I really can't afford to give to this. You might want to rethink that. I might want to rethink that. He says in Philippians 4:19, But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now how? Someone said, if you can count it, you're not rich. You know, everything about God is infinite. Nothing about God can be counted, measured. According to His riches, that's immeasurable. We're talking about immeasurable riches. That's what we're talking about. You afraid you're going to go broke? Let me tell you something. You haven't lost anything till you lost your life. And our Lord assures us that in giving, we're not going to go broke. He's able to make all things, all grace, he says, abound. He's able to do that. When you get time, when you go home, I want you to read 1 Kings. This is your homework assignment. 1 Kings 17, 1 through 6. It's the story of Elijah. You know how God fed him with the raven? That raven fed him. And then after that, the widow of Zarephath, or however you say that, she had this one barrel of oil. Remember this? Remember this story? And Elijah goes there, and he asks her to fix him something, and she had this one barrel. And she just says, well, this, I'm just going to paraphrase. Well, let's just go in and use it up, you know, and feed the man of God, and then we'll just die. That barrel never went dry. That barrel never went dry. It just, every day, that barrel was filled with water. Has God changed? Has God changed? God hasn't changed. Our God is still the same God. He's still the same God. The same one who split the sea, who dried up the rivers, who led Israel through the wilderness, who fed them with manna, is the same God. Our God's the same God. And now fifthly, I don't have many more. I'm about done. Do you feel cast down right now? So weak in faith? And when you go home, it seems worse. It just doesn't seem to get any better, does it? Do you believe that Christ is able to build you up? You believe He's able to lift you up above all that? You believe He's able to do that? Paul says, Acts 20, 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. When you're cast down, it's able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. In this life, though we be cast down often, He's able to build us back up. And you know how He does that? His word. His word. See, this is the foundation for everything we believe. Just take God at His word. When you can't see, when a child of God sits in darkness, take God at His word. He has magnified His name above His word. Saturate yourself with the word. It's able to build you up. Listen to this. The Word of God is able to build you up even when you don't realize it's building you up. Because the Word of God, the Scripture says, works in you, worketh in you continually. Now listen, that word worketh is continually. Worketh in you continually. And it says it worketh in you continually, effectually. It's effectually working. It's getting the job done. God said, my word will not return to me void. It's getting the job done. Even when you can't perceive it, it's working in you. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believes. The Word of God is working in you. You're not just sitting here listening to another book. This is God's Word. When Frank read this Scripture, God was speaking. You realize that? We ought to get on the edge of our seat when the Scripture's read. God is speaking. It's His Word. You say, well, it's the Bible. It's His Word. It's God speaking. Every time it's being read, He's speaking. Listen to it. Listen to it. And then listen. Do you believe that Christ is able to subdue your indwelling sin? Powerful, isn't it? It seems more powerful to me now than it did when I thought it was powerful when I was in my 20s. But it seems more powerful now. I don't think it's powerful, but I know this, it's more deceptive. It's more deceptive now. Yeah, you have to be careful because you think, well, I don't do this anymore. You're getting settled down, you're just... Yeah, then that self-righteous takes a self-righteous turn to it. It's more deceptive. That's the danger of it. Listen to this. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to subdue our sins, that sin nature. He's able to raise us from the grave. He's able to present us faultless before the presence of His glory. He's able. He's able. And last of all, do you believe that Jesus Christ is able to keep you from falling away? Do you fear apostasy? I've seen some fall away that shocked me. Scripture said, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Listen, Jude chapter 1, verse 24. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. You know, the only reason you and I have not apostatized, he's kept us from it. You know the only difference between me and Judas? The grace of God. The only difference between Peter and Judas, they both denied him. One denied him, one betrayed him. The grace of God. That's the difference. Unto him that's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You won't stand there trembling, scared to death. You'll stand before God with exceeding joy because you're faultless. You don't feel it now, but you will then. You'll know it then. Our Lord said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you can say yes, yes to all the above, he says in verse 29, says, then touched he their eyes, according to your faith, so be it. And you know what happened? In verse 31, they became a flaming witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't help but become a flaming witness of Christ. I tell you, you can't help it. If he has opened your eyes, your ears, and raised you from the dead, and giving you faith and hope and love, you can't help but being a flaming witness of Christ. Christ said, don't tell nobody this. You know what they did? They went out and told everybody. They went out and told everybody. And it was good to see you again.
John, that was so good. Thank you. Oh, I hope we believe, don't you? Believe Him. Believe Christ. That's a good question for us to ask ourselves. I try to ask myself that often. Do you believe? I mean, do you? I ask myself this, because this, I don't want to be playing games. I want to worship God. I want to hear from God. Brother Henry used to talk about the church being a poor man's country club. I don't want to be in a country club. I have no interest in that. I want to be in Christ. Do you believe? Well, if you do, this table's for you. And it'll be a blessing to you to observe it and to remember our Savior. So Wayne, you men come and distribute the bread if you would. The Apostle Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Eric, would you give thanks for the bread? Paul continues, "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show, you do tell truly the Lord's death till he come." Why don't you give thanks for the blood? Well, we began our service asking that the Lord bless us. I believe he did, don't you? He blessed us with his word, blessed us with a message from him to be able to worship him. I'm very thankful. So, Sean, you come lead us in a closing hymn and we'll be dismissed.
If you would, turn in your hymnal to song number 351 and stand as we sing. Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows over me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.